Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have incredibly exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is now available for purchase in Kindle, in Audible, and in hardcover. Anywhere that you find books, please go on Amazon, please go to whatever bookstore you like, buy yourself a copy, buy a copy for a friend. Hope that you absolutely love it. Now let's get into the show. Way back when Facebook dominated social media, I built a page with over 200,000 followers and used it to have my first million-dollar year at age 26. Then a few years later, I published a book called Viralnomics, sharing those strategies, and it became the number one marketing book on Amazon. The surprising part is that all of this had little to do with content. Then when I rebuilt my Instagram in 2021, I skeptically revisited that little book, thinking there's no way social media advice from years ago was still relevant. But I was wrong. Following those same principles, I built from nothing to 257,346 engaged followers on IG. There was no ads, there was no engagement pods, no paid shoutouts, just strategy despite admittedly being terrible at design and video. Now here's the crazy part. It's 2025, I'm 39. Viralnomics was published 10 years ago. Recently, I read through it again. Aside from cringing at the editing quality, I was stunned. That little book is more relevant today than when I wrote it. A book about ever-changing social media written before Instagram blew up, before Twitter became X, and before TikTok existed. And that's because algorithms change, but humans don't. No matter what happens with tech, our psychology remains remarkably consistent. The value of focusing on the people who use the platforms rather than chasing temperamental algorithms only increases in our distraction-filled world. Now, I know you wanted instructions when to post, what to say, and don't worry, that's coming. By the end of this, you're going to have frameworks for creating content that spreads purposefully, attracting the right attention from the right people. But first, let's understand what's happening beneath the surface. You see, there's this social media advice paradox. Everyone teaching social media growth is competing for attention on social media. They're forced to share what performs best, not what works best. Related, but not the same. Thumbnail design, trendy music, quick video cuts. Those are all sprinkles on a sundae. They help, sure, but without the sundae, they don't have a place. All simplified tactics that look impressive, but lack context. All stuff that can be taught in a 20-second video. The deeper psychological principles that actually drive engagement, the sundae, however, isn't easily taught. The best educators, they deliberately choose what to share publicly versus what to teach in their programs. But most casual observers mistake these quick-hit algorithm-friendly snacks for the full meal. Ever wondered how some people break through while others don't? Why certain content catches fire when it's objectively not better than yours? Let's dive beneath the surface. Let's talk about this a little bit. First, you got to master the four stages of social media growth. As I wrote in The Obvious Choice, there's value in content when you're new, and there's value ongoing. The key is figuring out what value you need based on your situation. Stage one, you just publish consistently. You don't check stats. Stage two, you serve your existing customers and audience. You focus inward. Stage three is you become an industry celebrity. You begin building a following. Stage four is thought leadership. You grow beyond the world that you come from. I suggest most business owners in that book stay at stage two. Be genuine, start a newsletter, write a blog, record a podcast. It doesn't actually matter which you choose, so long as you're serving your existing customers. You'll get most of the benefits of converting leads, retention, referrals, without the negatives of comparison or potential burnout. But what if you want to build a bigger audience beyond your existing customers, people who don't know you yet? That's where the sea lion strategy comes in. You see, the sea lion strategy is growth without burnout. My family was on this fishing boat in Alaska, and birds suddenly started to congregate in one place. And our boat sonar started broadcasting these whale calls. Bubbles formed on the water surface. Then 15 whales shot up in the once calm and idyllic setting. It erupted with activity, with whales getting most of the krill fish. What most people missed, though, that were on the boat with us was the sea lions. just like those clever opportunists. They stayed on the perimeter, catching fish the whales flung aside. No work, our reward. The lesson is that influencers, the whales, have already done the hard work of congregating like-minded people. You see, when they post, it creates a bubble feed of activity. Instead of trying to get the influencer's attention, follow the sea lion's example. Target the people engaging with the influencer. You don't create a community. You first join one already in progress. Most people view content marketing as doing something to get attention. I suggest something different. I suggest facilitate a process already underway. People are already engaging on social media, and most of them are being ignored. Many are in a position similar to yours. They're hustling for attention. Now, here's the single most important fact you need to understand. People who comment, comment lots. People who share, share lots. People who don't, don't. The key to building a valuable community isn't attracting thousands of passive followers. It's finding people who already love being active community participants. If you want engagement, find people who are already engaging elsewhere. Here's the step-by-step sea lion method. Number one, find large accounts doing similar work to yours. They're the whales. Number two, check the comments when they post, which is the bubble feed. Look for the thoughtful ones. Number three, tap on those commenters' profiles. You're going to be the sea lion. Number four, if they're creating content in your space, follow them. Number five, find the content you genuinely like and share it. And number six, message them and say hello. Skip anyone with private accounts or profiles that are mainly like family photos, obviously, that'd be weird. Focus on fellow content creators in your niche who are also early in their journey. There's this 15 paperclip system that built my community. You see, when I was building my Instagram from nothing in 2021, I started with this abandoned account. It had 3,000 followers, but it had zero engagement. I'd posted on it for a few years. I wanted to build a community of personal trainers. And so what I did is I set aside two 30-minute blocks daily. The first block was to find thoughtful commenters on influencers' pages, follow them, share their content, and message them. The second block was to reply to messages and have conversations. Each day, what I did is I placed 15 paperclips on my desk. Every time I completed this process with somebody, I moved a paperclip to a cup. Once all the paperclips were moved, I was done for the day. 15 people over 180 days is 2,700 potential community members. Of those that I reached out to, 500 to 700 or so for my initial engaged community. By pre-selecting people who already engaged with similar content, I made my small account disproportionately active. Think about it like this. Humans follow consistent patterns. Someone who comments on one page actively comments on many pages. And people who don't comment, which are most, don't comment anywhere, regardless of whether they like the content or not. In the early stages of growing an account, you want a disproportionately large percentage of people who comment thoughtfully. So go out and find people already doing that in other places and bring them back to your space. Here's a real success story of somebody doing this right now. Jack Wagner hosts the Grateful Podcast. He's 18, and he's figured this out better than most. Like many podcasters, Jack shares clips on social media, and one of his Instagram reels hit 12,000 views. He expected it to drive podcast listeners. It didn't. People generally stick on the platforms that they're on. But here's what Jack told me that he did next. He messaged every single person who shared his reel, thanking them, asking them how they found it. This is the hidden work that forms the massive iceberg beneath the surface. So here's my approach of the hidden work. My posts get shared frequently. You can see that. It's above the surface. Here's what you don't see. I view my story reshares daily, and I message 15 to 20 people who aren't following me yet. And I say to them, I use their first name. I say, thanks for sharing. I'm curious. It looks like you aren't yet following me. So how'd you find my post? Many respond that they're following now, and some of the conversations develop further. Think about it like this. These people already shared my content. Somebody who shares one piece will share more. These people are the type of people who value and share work similar to mine. I want them in my ecosystem. I want them to come back. It's up to me to make that happen, not to assume it's going to happen without my active work. You've got to become the ringleader in your community, in your niche, which means that you need to connect more and create less. The paradox of social media growth, especially in the early stages, is that people who create less and connect more often have the most success. But with pressure to create, there's no time left to connect. The advantage, therefore, is in the connecting, not the creating. Here's five connection strategies that outperform content. Number one is to curate and add value to other people's work. Find a post somebody else did that performed well. Talk about how good it was and add your take. Send it to them. Thank them. Ask if they want to publish it as a collab. Now, notice one of the key things here. You do the work first. All they need to do is tap accept. The easier you make it for the other person, the better likelihood that they'll accept. That's how you bat above your average. That's how you enter a new league, is you got to go out of your way and do a lot more of this work for other people. And bigger pages will often collaborate you as a result. The second is to arrange strategic collaborations. Again, take the lead, do all the work. And what you're doing here is you're actually reaching out to somebody and saying that you want to collaborate with them. You're not doing the work in advance based off of their work. You're building. If you've listened this far into the podcast, I want to invite you to buy a copy of my new book, The Obvious Choice. It's available now. A lot of people have been asking me what the book's about. The central premise is that it's learning how to position yourself as the clear and trusted answer to a specific group's problems. You see, a lot of people these days are trying to become famous to the faceless, anonymous internet, instead of becoming the obvious choice to a smaller amount of people who are going to buy from you. It's actually much better, much more profitable, much easier and much faster and much less stressful to be obviously perfect to a smaller amount of people than just okay to a lot of people who are never going to buy you. You see, you don't need to be the best at everything or chase the largest audience. You need to become the most relevant to your people. What I do is I emphasize the importance of understanding your audience's needs, meeting them where they already are, and delivering such value that choosing anyone else feels irrational. And so pick up a copy of the book. It's in Kindle, it's in Audible, it's in hardcover, wherever you find books. Hope that you absolutely love it. Doing the work alongside with them, but you're probably going to have to build the whole thing yourself. The reason that so few collaborate isn't because they don't want to, it's because everybody's too busy in their own world. In one of the cases where I did this, it was with Karen, and Karen and I planned the concept together, but then I wrote the script. We both recorded our parts, and then she edited them together. And what's interesting about that one is that the reel itself actually didn't perform great in terms of engagements. But what it did do is it exposed me to a new community. You see, Karen's a Swedish Muslim woman living in Morocco. She's involved in the fitness community and is a leader in that space. I'm a white Jewish guy in Toronto. She has access to a community that I don't. And so it did expose me to that new community. But way more important was that it actually brought Karen and I closer together. And about a year later, she actually joined our team as a mentor in the online trainer mentorship. So it's a great way to network too. The third way to outperform content in terms of connection strategies is to introduce people to one another. When Lisa Simone Richards wanted to build her PR company, she began hosting Lisa's podcast party on Zoom. And she invited 8 to 10 other podcast guests that had interviewed her to talk about their own shows to one another. And she told me about it on my pod. And then I copied her strategy and I hosted my first John's author party. Out of 15 authors that I invited, 8 attended. What was interesting about that was I didn't even know most of the authors that I invited. A lot of them were cold invites, right? Everybody wants to connect. Few people go out of their way to start the connection, but people love being involved. Most of my marketing strategy now hinges on connecting people behind the scenes. When you dig deep into any network, you'll find that there's a few core connectors with outsized influence. The fourth is to send birthday cards. This one's a little bit goofy, but over the years, try to gather addresses from people you meet professionally. You can find their birthdays often on Facebook. They have their birthday listed. You load all addresses and birthdays into software called Postable, which is an online address book. And then once a year, take a goofy photo, you create a book, and then Postable allows you to check out and build an automation where it actually, you buy a birthday code for every single person and it mails out to them on their birthday throughout the year. When was the last time you got a birthday code in the mail from anybody? right? How can you make this internet thing more real? How can you make the digital more analog? How can you exist in people's worlds in a more special place and special way? It's what I'm always thinking about. And then the last way to connect more is to include people in something bigger. You see, when I updated my book, Ignite the Fire, in 2016, I included 90 other people in the book. Every time that I made a point, instead of myself making that point, what I did is I went and I searched the internet for somebody else who had said something similar, and I actually used their words or their quote, or I attributed it to them. Each person then got a physical copy of the book with a post-it note to their page. On a recent interview, I told Jack that this single action was the biggest catalyst that helped me break through in my crowded industry. You don't need a big project like a book, though. When I was a personal trainer, wanted to make a name for myself online, I messaged about 50 other trainers asking for 3 to 5 biggest mistakes that they made early on in their careers. About 30 of them responded. I compiled their responses into a PDF, I put their names on the cover as authors, and I invited all of the contributors to share it. That PDF generated 300 email opt-ins on its first day and launched the PTDC.com into the largest blog in the world for personal trainers. It cost $5 for me to do that start to finish, and a little elbow grease. I didn't even edit the damn thing. I copy and pasted it. Typos all over. The bar for supporting others, the bar for connecting is so low and is getting lower every day. You'd be surprised how much you stand out when you do it. With your connection strategy now in place, let's explore why people share content so that you can create posts your new connections are going to want to amplify. You see, people don't share because they like your content. They share because they like how sharing makes your content make them appear. Sharing on social media is an act of selective self-representation. We do it because we feel like it makes us look important and improves our perceived self-worth. In Vironomics, I called it the newest, oldest drug on the market, IIIAF. People will share your content because they feel like it makes them look intelligent, interesting, intellectual, attractive, or funny. Whether we actually are these things is irrelevant. You get your fix if you believe others perceive you as IIIAF. Whether you actually think that I'm smart in me presenting this video is irrelevant to my own self-worth. What matters is that I think that you think that I'm smart. Here's the surprising truth about who actually shares your content. You see, the biggest mistake people make is creating for their ideal customer, not for their colleagues or fellow enthusiasts. Your customer isn't listening yet, and even if they were, they don't engage or share. If your goal is growth on social media, the fastest way is to create for your colleagues. Say what they're already thinking. Share and comment on work from others that already has resonance. The people who will share, follow, and help you grow aren't your customers. They're your colleagues or other enthusiasts, people like you who like the same things as you. There's 3 types of content that drive growth: viral, which tracks followers, value, which solves their problems, and depth, which creates connection. Purely viral accounts attract the most followers but lack meaningful ability to sell. Accounts that only include problem-solving content often lack the size to make an impact. And if you're only posting personal information, well, you're not creating content, you're sharing stuff about your life with a few friends. If you're looking to grow from nothing, your ratio should be heavily skewed towards viral, around 80-10-10. Once you gain an audience, you'll have earned the right to begin adding more of the other types. So here's a storytelling 101 formula that works. For every point, find a story. For every story, find a villain. Now, a villain isn't a single person. They're an institution, a bad habit, or a dumb social norm. The easiest format for writing social media posts or scripting videos is hook, story, punch. The first line needs to grab them. Then tell a story. End it with emotion, intrigue, or call to action. Here's an example. My dad has exercised every week since I was young. Hook. At 78, he plays with my kids on the floor while many of his friends are needing assistance. Story. Fitness doesn't seem like it matters until one day it becomes audience. Punch. This 5-step formula has generated millions upon millions upon millions of impressions for me. Okay? This is it. This hook, story, punch expanded out a little bit more. You tell a story. You call out the problem from the story. You restate the problem generally, then you give the steps to solving, then you conclude. Here's an example with that 5 steps. I'm only 38 and I already see it. fit friends seem to defy aging. That's the hook. That's the story. Those that don't exercise regularly are going downhill fast. That's the problem from the story. You have a choice, period. That's the problem restated generally. Today could be the least fit you ever are for the rest of your life. That's steps to solving. There's something beautiful about that. Poetic, really. That's the conclusion. That's the punch. Here's a couple final practical tips for sustained growth. First, you want to recycle your winning content. If a piece of content works, repeat it every 2 to 3 months, then create more like it. There are probably only 5 to 7 things that matter in your field that will resonate on social media. The game becomes how many different ways you can say the same thing. Number 2 is to ask doorknob questions. Most questions are like stop signs. They invite an answer that naturally ends the conversation. Doorknobs invite the other person to tell a story. An example of a stop sign is where are you from? An example of a doorknob is what's your favorite thing to do in your hometown? So you got to choose your path. Is it going to be engagement, right? Or is it going to be sales? Either's fine, but they're different. Think of your social media platform as a savings account. Make deposits when there's excess time and money. Think of it as an investment in the future and not as a way to benefit short term. When you ask for sales, you will see a decrease in engagement and probably lose some followers, which is fine. Work backwards from what you want and measure the right metrics. For my main channel, a major metric we measure is the number of qualified DM inquiries for the online trainer mentorship that we receive. Interestingly, our data clearly shows that we have an inverse relationship between engagement and tangible business outcomes. Here's what this looks like in practice. When I share personal stories or viral style content, engagement metrics like likes and comments and shares, they soar. But when I share content directly related to our services, either direct calls to action or educational frameworks, engagement drops while qualified inquiries and sales increase. The content that generates the most business rarely gets the most engagement. This is critical to understand. Both have a time and place, but you can't get upset when your material that generates business doesn't get as much engagement. Here's the timeless social media strategy. Platforms will continue changing. New features will launch. Algorithms will shift. But the fundamental truth remains. Social media is about people, not platforms. The most successful creators understand human psychology. They build genuine connections and they facilitate community rather than force it. Start with the sea lion strategy. Find your 15 people a day. Connect more than you create. Include others in something bigger than themselves. Stop obsessing over what to post and when. Instead, focus on who you're connecting with and why they would care. The principles that worked a decade ago still work today. The principles working today will still work a decade from now. Because while platforms evolve, humans don't. Hope this was helpful for you. I really, really do. And hey, if you can think of one person to text or email this to, somebody who might benefit from it or resonate with it, please pass it along. Thanks. Hope you're good.